Western Michigan University has been recognized in the past for its efforts to help students after they age out of the foster care system. On Friday, a statewide summit on helping foster care youth succeed is being held at Western. Fostering Success Michigan begins 9 o'clock Friday morning at the Fetzer Center. Mandy Day is Director of Outreach and Training for the Center for Fostering Success. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit, first of all, about what's going on Friday and how it relates to this kind of larger idea of students going from foster care and then into college and being successful.
Yeah. Friday will be our third annual Fostering Success Michigan statewide summit, and we're very pleased to be back at Western Michigan at the Fetzer Center. It'll be a gathering of over 200 professionals and students from across the state that are really focused on increasing access and success for students from foster care in higher education. And, you know, we really take a large scope. We bring a diverse group of partners together, anyone from high school and middle school counselors to other college professionals at other campuses across the state and our youth and alumni of foster care. So we'll be offering skill-based workshops that were really focused on helping our partners find one thing that they can take away that they can use to transform their practice, whatever that may be, that will transform the education to career pipeline for our students from foster care.
And tell us a little bit about Thursday. There's going to be a movie shown at the Alamo Draft House, Short Term 12. What's this movie about?
Yeah, so Short Term 12 is an independent film that is really focused on kind of giving an inside look through the eyes of a young woman who works at a residential foster care facility. And, you know, for me, I think it's really important that we look at these spaces that are often forgotten about for our youth and children in foster care. Residential care is one of those places that we don't talk a lot about, but especially in Michigan, it's really important that we understand. We have a high number of youth who experience residential care placements. And so we felt that this movie was a great way to bring that dialogue to the community. And it's really beautifully shot, and I think offers a lot of space for conversation. And following the movie, we actually will have a talk back that will be led by three alumni of foster care. They're going to sort of have a facilitated discussion with the audience about this movie and about the experience of foster care.
Is it a fairly realistic portrayal of children in residential foster care?
You know, I think so. Of course, it takes some liberties, but, you know, I think it's fairly realistic. And when I first watched this movie, I actually spoke with a colleague of mine who is the policy director for a national organization called Foster Club. And I said, you know, Tim, you lived in foster care. You lived in residential placements. What do you think? And he was like, this was the film that spoke my story for me in a way that I don't think that I've been able to do before. So to me, I haven't been in foster care, but hearing from a friend and colleague say that, it really felt quite profound.
So what do foster care children need if they're going to age out of foster care and yet move on to college, hopefully get a degree, and go on from there?
Mm-hmm. You know, we focus a lot when we are helping youth transition out of foster care on this idea of independence. And I actually think that we're kind of wrong when we say that. I don't know any successful adult that is completely independent. And I really believe that we need to instill a sense of interdependence and really a sense of how do you ask for help and some of those really, you know, strong life skills that help us navigate through whatever may come. You know, we can offer financial literacy training, and that's important. We can help students get into college, and that's extremely important. But if they can't navigate through those systems of making it through college into career, then we're not really serving the youth that come through foster care the best way that we can. So I think having mentors is huge. I'm big on professional mentors, career mentors, and then also just, you know, finding those ways that the community of youth and alumni from foster care can really come together. So building that community, which is one of the things that we're trying to do with Fostering Success Michigan, is really important.
But a certain degree of independence, it does seem, is required, because many of us, even after we get out of college, turn back to our parents at some point,
sure,
perhaps for financial help or maybe to move back
sure,
if the job market's lousy. So there is a certain sort of, an independence that you do need, right, if you're going to make a successful transition?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important that our young adults from foster care feel strong and equipped to, you know, actively engage in the professional world, the career world, and, you know, find jobs, find housing on their own. So absolutely, we do need to instill that sense of self. I think that we all, you know, like you said, look back and maybe have parents or family members that we can kind of fall on. And so for our young adults from foster care, when they don't have those folks, I think it's really looking to who can step in that gap for them.
Are there things that maybe the rest of us take for granted as we go through college and maybe our early adult years that if you're a foster student or a former foster child, you need those things and they're important?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that comes up all the time and that we work with, Western has done an amazing job addressing this issue, but it's housing. And so we think about summer breaks, of course, you know, and there's different things you can do, but we don't think about winter breaks. We don't think about spring break, where oftentimes, you know, university housing closes down. And especially here in Michigan, where it's very cold in the winter, we always are concerned that our students who are in college are, you know, couch surfing or maybe, you know, homeless in other ways over those breaks. So those are the kinds of things that I don't think we necessarily think about until you have that conversation with somebody and you say, okay, so we're going to be on break for 3 weeks. What's your plan? And they're kind of looking at you like, yeah, I don't know. You know, and that's something that I took for granted. I was able to go back home to, you know, my family's home. So those are things that we really want to address for our students. We want to make sure that they have a plan. And at a place like Western, they actually keep the dorms open through all of those breaks, which is a huge gift to those students.
Is the CETA Scholars Program here at Western Michigan University becoming something of a model? Are other schools looking at it and saying that makes sense? That's something that we can duplicate?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really exciting. You know, I get calls all the time, at least once a week from all over the country, folks calling us, really asking about, you know, how are they doing this at Western? And tell me about the CETA Scholars Program. And by sheer numbers alone, the fact that they are serving on campus 160 students from foster care, it makes them one of the largest programs in the country. By programming, you know, in addition to that, they have such extensive programming, such holistic programming, that they're really able to, you know, touch on a variety of issues that students, any student would face, but that are of particular need to address for our students from foster care. Things from identity to financial planning, basic life skills, and it goes on.
Do you think that that is perhaps building the future network that you talked about earlier, that these students who, assuming they're successful and they go out and they get degrees and they have some success in finance or whatever, are living somewhat comfortably, they can give back to the students who come along after them through the foster care system?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the best things about my job is I get to go to graduations all across the state. And so this year I went to 3 different graduation ceremonies here at Western, at Eastern Michigan University, and the University of Michigan. And at all 3 of those ceremonies, students, you know, got up and they made some acknowledgments. And all 3 of them, they said, you know, I'm going to give back. I'm going to do my part because somebody did probably more than their fair share to help me get to here and through here. And now I want to come back. And that, I really think, speaks volumes to the positive experiences that our students are having through campus support programs. But really, like you said, that community that's being built both on campus and in that community. So for our students here at Western, they're not just tied into Western, but they're really tied into Kalamazoo. And they talk about wanting to work here. They're looking for jobs here. They talk about wanting to come back for alumni activities. And that's really the opportunity that having a program like the CETA Scholars Program has built for them.
When you find mentors for people who have gone through foster care, perhaps in the CETA Scholars Program, who makes a good mentor?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, I don't think that it has to be anybody with a, you know, special set of skills. I think it has to be somebody with a lot of patience. So maybe that's a special skill, depending on who you are. But, you know, I think somebody with a lot of patience and an openness to understanding really understanding the experience, it's probably very much unlike their own, because I think as much as the issues of, you know, foster care, really, they intersect quite a number of statuses. So ability status, gender and sexual identity status, race and ethnic identity status. You can have some of those things in common, but the experience of foster care really cuts across all of those. And no one experience is going to be alike. And so being open to hearing what these students, some of them have gone through, and then also helping and just sharing your life with them so that they can see, what is it like to be a professional that comes to work every day? What is it like to be, you know, a partner, a husband, a wife, etc. What is it like to be a parent? You know, many of these students, they're looking for those mentors, both professionally, but also in life.
Perhaps they have not had the role models of people who hold a long-term job, and also have not seen the role models of someone who serves as a parent and does many of the things that we just, again, exactly, accept that parents do.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why I kind of say it doesn't have to be somebody that's special, but it really does have to be somebody that's willing to open their lives in an authentic way.
What else do we need to do? I mean, you know, beyond the Seed of Scholars program, beyond fostering success, what are other things that, that we're finding that former foster children need as they age out of the system?
Mm-hmm. One of the big wins that we've had recently was through the Affordable Care Act, there has been an extension of Medicaid that has been a significant advantage to our students from foster care. So now they're able to, much like any other young adult, they're able to stay on extended Medicaid through up to age 26. And so just having that stability of health care is a huge advantage to our students, as we would know for, you know, any of our own children. So that's one big win. I think another, you know, big thing, and of course, I'm going to bring it back to education because that's what I'm really focused on, but it's really setting the expectation of success. And, you know, that's something that we don't necessarily lead with, but I think it's actually, that dialogue is actually changing. And I would like to see it change even more significantly. So I don't hear people saying, well, I'm just so glad that they got through high school. I hear people saying, oh, it's so wonderful that they got their bachelor's degree. Oh, it's so wonderful that they, you know, went to a technical college. They got this credential. That's really what we want for all of our children. And we need to start setting that expectation of success for our students from foster care.
But a lot of research shows that the early years of education are pretty critical for the payoff you're going to get down the road. So does that mean focusing there as well on the younger children who are in foster care and making sure that they are being well educated?
Absolutely. Education stability is a huge, huge issue. And it's something that I'm, you know, talking with our partners, you know, high school and middle school counselors, absolutely. And even our early childhood development partners, just saying, you know, anything that we can do to increase the stability of education for our young people in foster care, we have to do. Michigan actually has a very strong McKinney-Vento policy, which is a federal policy that has really helped to increase education stability for all of the children K through 12 in foster care. And so that's been a huge benefit to this state. And I think tapping into resources like that, but also just some awareness, even as early as middle school, you know, educators don't necessarily know when students are in foster care or what the situation is. And I would really like to see our child welfare system and our education system partner more so that when students are in foster care, educators understand what's happening. And so they're not punishing them for acting out necessarily when really it's the only way that they can say, hey, things are going wrong at home and I don't know how to tell you. And so I think if we can have more communication between those two systems from an early age and then ongoing through middle school and high school, we'll see better outcomes.
I suppose that some people worry about a stigmatism being attached to someone who is in foster care. But you think the other side of that sort of outweighs whatever whatever that may carry with it?
I do. And I don't think that we have to look at being in foster care as a negative thing. You know, being in foster care gives bio families the opportunity to receive help and resources that they need. It gives students the opportunity to have, medical appointments and therapist appointments and all those things that they may need to help process what was happening. So it doesn't have to be this negative thing. I think if we can look at it like, you know, this is actually preventing some things from getting worse, you know, and if we can look at it as this is our social responsibility and everybody, you know, we are the state. And so when children are taken out of their homes, that means that we as the state feel that we can do a better job at parenting them than their biological family. So why wouldn't we want to advocate for them and protect them in their schools?
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that's all. We're very excited to have our, a number of events from the Center for Fostering Success at Western, both in the community and on campus this month. And just thank you for having me to celebrate National Foster Care Month.
Maddie Day, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Maddie Day is Director of Outreach and Training for the Center for Fostering Success.